You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
By a miracle of God, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead unto life. And we know for sure that this is true because we were eyewitnesses. Controversy and division, that's what a statement like this would cause in our society today. But the early Christians who claimed to be eyewitnesses to the miracle of the resurrection must be taken seriously. After all, they were there, and they were the ones who had seen Jesus nailed to the cross. Some of these followers even helped place the dead body in the tomb. And then, 3 days later, these same teary-eyed survivors were surprised and even shocked to see their master alive again, walking around and at one point actually eating broiled fish. And so the question is this: can the candid testimony of such highly motivated missionaries be considered reliable in the 20th century? Indeed it can. And these confessors of the faith had their confessions in Christ tested by fire. They faced hungry lions, death by the bloody sword, and execution by the emperor. They could have saved their own lives if they only would have recanted and said that the resurrection was only a myth. But these early Christians knew better. Such a lie they could not tell. They were eyewitnesses, and they had seen the Messiah put to death on the cross, and they had seen the crucified Christ alive again after 3 days. Indeed, these first Christians knew exactly what they were talking about. They had been directly involved in the events themselves. And so the tragedy lies not with them, but with us and our obstinate unbelief. Even after the Bible provides such convincing proof of Jesus' miraculous resurrection, and even after first-hand witnesses stated clearly what they had seen with their own eyes, some journalists today, yes, and even some major magazine publishers, cannot resist the temptation of the devil to try to create doubts about and even outrightly deny the Savior's blessed resurrection from the dead. For example, last Easter, U.S. News and World Report magazine carried an extensive 5-part cover story on the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The authors tried to sound scholarly, but their subtle journalistic jabs exposed their preconceived prejudice. Oh, the authors did not say that the resurrection could not be believed, but what they did say was this: that anybody who does believe in the resurrection of Jesus cannot do so on the basis of scholarly facts. Those who believe in the resurrection, they said, must do it on the basis of religion or faith. And this worn-out argument is as worthless as arguing that the earth is not round but square. And to say that either you believe in the facts or you believe by faith, but that you cannot do both, is merely a simplistic attempt to restate what the little boy in Sunday school said when the Sunday school teacher asked him to define faith. The little boy responded by saying, "Faith means to believe in something that you know is not true." Now, this may, of course, sound a little bit humorous, I suppose. This little boy, however, was simply repeating what many adults today believe, that when there seems to be no facts to support religion, then you have to rely on a simplistic, man-generated faith and sort of spiritually fly by the seat of your pants, hoping that you eventually will end up in heaven and certainly not in hell. But the truth is this: there is no contradiction between faith and facts. It is never either one or the other. In true religion, faith and facts go hand in hand, for without facts there can be no faith. Faith always needs an object, and the object of the Christian faith is the crucified and resurrected and living Christ. Oh, isn't it amazing how some so-called experts on religion try to argue and use all kinds of logic and reasoning to show that the faith must be some type of nebulous, dreamy, and mystical religious experience, since it is often alleged that Christianity has no facts to support it. And this was also the central thrust or thesis of the magazine article I've referred to just a short time ago. Let's briefly examine the utter folly of their argument. These journalists state that most people, even non-Christians, agree that most likely there was a man called Jesus, and that this same man called Jesus was crucified on a cross. Scoffers are often willing to admit this because, you see, even other recorded histories other than the Bible record this event. And then they are also willing to concede that many people, especially his followers, claim to have seen Jesus after his resurrection. But then, now listen to this, then they maintain, however, that this does not prove that Jesus was raised from the dead, because nobody was present to see the actual event take place. Oh, how foolish can we become? How ridiculous an argument. It makes no sense whatsoever. To expose the absurdity of this type of thinking, let's use the following example. Let's suppose that you have a close friend. He is healthy and vibrant and full of life. 3 days later, however, you see this friend of yours at the funeral home, dead and in a coffin. Now, you would be utterly foolish, would you not, if you were to say that this man was not dead because you were not present to see him when he was in the act of dying? But this is the type of thinking that you and I are supposed to accept when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are being told by the authors of the U.S. News and World Report article that the resurrection cannot be accepted as a fact, because nobody saw Jesus in the act of being raised from the dead. Oh, this all makes no difference. The bottom line is simply, as the early Christian witnesses exclaimed, they said, Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. And we know this, they said, because we have seen him with our own eyes. Enough. Yes, enough is enough. We are not going to waste all of our time on this program exposing the absurdity and the faulty logic of those who try, in vain, to deny the Savior and his life-giving resurrection. Instead, we rejoice that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. His bloody death was considered a worthy sacrifice, acceptable to God the Father, to pay for all of your mistakes and mine. And that 3 days later, this same Jesus rose again from the dead, so that you and I might be able to stand before a holy God, redeemed and justified. St. Paul expresses this powerful proclamation of joy when he says in Romans chapter 4, Jesus Christ was delivered up for our transgressions, and he was raised again for our justification. Oh, St. Paul struck the bottom line to it all when he said, if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then you and I are still in our sins. But the truth is this, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and therefore our sins have been paid for. And now all who trust in the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ can look forward to the final day of judgment with a clean conscience and a heart filled with hope. Have you ever felt like saying, oh, if I could only live life over again, I would try to avoid some of the mistakes that I have made? If you feel like saying this, then you are not alone. There are countless thousands, yea, even millions of adults and even elderly people who are not proud of some of their past actions. They wish that they had made some better decisions when they were younger, and they are embarrassed by some of the sinful things that they did in their past. But this, my friend, is also why Jesus Christ and his resurrection and his gospel of forgiveness and hope is so important for us today. Jesus said, I didn't come to die for all those who feel that they have made all the correct decisions in life and have never sinned, or if they did sin, it wasn't the real bad sins. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And those who think that they are spiritually in good health, and even self-righteous, these people, Jesus said, don't need a physician or a spiritual doctor. Only those who are willing to confess and admit that they are sinners, and that they are spiritually sick and need help, these are the ones who need and will receive the Savior. Oh, yes, my friend, today may well be the day that God is calling you to admit your failures and to repent and to come to Him for spiritual healing. Today may be the day that God is calling you to take Jesus Christ and His resurrection more seriously. Jesus Christ is not a mere product of spiritual imagination. Jesus Christ is real, and Jesus Christ is living today. This is why millions of Christians all over the world openly confess that after His crucifixion, Jesus was raised from the dead, and that He then ascended up into heaven, and that He now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that this same Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Yes, it is indeed the Savior's most sincere desire that you reject the materialism of this world, and that in sincere repentance that you turn away from a life that is filled with hopelessness and return to Him for strength. This Jesus, who now rules and reigns in heaven and on earth, wants to establish for you a new life built upon a solid foundation of true faith based upon the resurrection, a foundation that will never shift with each fad or change with each trend of time. Jesus wants to give you the joy in your soul that will produce a smile on your face, even in days of despair and hours of agony. And so, my friend, as you consider turning your life over to Jesus, have no fear, because the Savior is waiting to accept you. Jesus receives unto Himself all those who come unto Him for help. Jesus does not discriminate. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we read the words of Jesus when He said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes unto me I will certainly not cast out." When you come unto the Savior in true repentance and sincere faith, your new life in Christ will certainly produce some changes. For example, instead of always turning on the television set for relaxation and inspiration, by His Spirit, God will increasingly draw you to His living and life-giving Word. And as you pray, you will find yourself wanting to know more and more about the best friend that you have, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning over a new leaf in life is exciting, and leaving behind the decaying things of this world will become easier and easier as you become more and more attached to and conformed unto the mind of Christ. If you are one of the many millions of television addicts who spends 3 or 4 or maybe even more hours a day watching television, then don't hesitate to ask God to enable you to leave this vast wasteland behind you. In a recently published study following 13 years of diligent research, media experts have now overwhelmingly concluded that the overall impact of television on the viewer is decidedly negative. A recently released study showed that the more television a person watches, the more drowsy, the more bored, the sadder, the lonelier, and the more hostile that person becomes. Many previous studies on the effects of television have been published, but this study, according to a professor from Harvard University, is the most comprehensive and the most reliable. And why are we mentioning television today when we are talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Simply because in our world, television is the false god that has stolen the time and captured the allegiance of so many millions of people. By the time these people are finished watching television, most of them are too tired to think of meditating on God's Word from the Bible, or spending some time in prayer, or thinking of all the blessings available from the resurrection. As we analyze television, the old biblical proverb becomes more and more true that whatever occupies our time and our thoughts eventually becomes our God. And so, my friend, don't try to spiritually nourish yourself in this life, and don't hope to prepare yourself for death and the life to come by viewing and even being eventually a slave to television. Instead, meditate upon what Jesus has done for you. This Jesus has offered up His own innocent life as a bloody sacrifice for your sin on the rugged cross. And then after 3 days, this same Jesus rose again from the dead so that you and I need never again fear death and the grave. Yes, even in your darkest days, stop and think. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is offering you more blessings than we have time to list. There is the assurance that your sins have been paid for, and there is the unshakable hope that you will see your deceased loved ones again. Family members, those who have died trusting in the salvation power of Jesus, you are going to see them as you join with them around the great throne of the blessed Savior. And how do we know that all these promises are true? Because they are all based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how do we know that the resurrection is true? Instead of looking around for answers to modern-day doubters or skeptics or scoffers, we simply listen to the testimony of the eyewitnesses that God has provided us. After Jesus was raised from the dead, the Apostle John was so excited that he wrote in his first epistle that these early Christians not only saw the resurrected Christ with their own eyes, they also heard him with their own ears, and they even touched the Savior with their own hands. Oh yes, it is because of these testimonies and because of what these early Christians saw that St. Peter was able to proclaim in his Pentecost sermon, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." Oh, my friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was put to death to pay for your sin, and he was raised again from the dead, so that you and all other followers of the Savior will be able to stand before God on Judgment Day, redeemed, justified, and declared righteous in his sight. Oh, look up today. Yes, look up. Your sins are forgiven. And through believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God will point your feet of faith unto the door of heaven. Amen.